It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
There's heavy metal, and then there's the first heavy metal band to top the pop chart at number one on Billboard magazine. And that band was Quiet Riot. And the music plays on in Las Vegas with my guests, Rudy Sarzo and Alex Grassi from Quiet Riot. The band will be performing this Saturday, October 5th at 8 p.m. in the M Pavilion at the M Resort. For ticket information, go to themresort.com. For everything about Quiet Riot, go to quietriot.band. Follow them on Facebook and X. And Rudy and Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here, Ivan.
Thank you. And let's try and keep it down to a riot, and that way we can, you know, we'll have some great conversations. I wanted to define heavy metal, just not to be make this academic, but I was looking it up the other day, and basically what they said was heavy metal is a genre of rock music that developed in the late 1960s, early 1970s, largely in the United Kingdom and the United States, and roots are in blues rock, psychedelic rock, acid rock, etc. Is that your take on it, guys?
I would say Rudy would know better than me. He was there.
I knew you would do that.
Here's my perception of it. That is a really good question because it raises a lot of perceptions, right? Okay, so let's say Black Sabbath is, you know, they're identified as the architects of heavy metal, right? Okay, you take one member out of Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne. He goes in search of a band to put together. Who did he get in the band? The Choir Riot guitar player, Randy Rhoads, right? So there is definitely a connection of heavy metal to the band Quiet Riot. You know, first he becomes Ozzy Osbourne's guitar player. And then, unfortunately, after his passing, you know, in 1982, we reform as Quiet Riot. And we call the album Metal Health. Mm-hmm. We dedicate the album to the memory of Randy Rhoads, you know, and that opened the doors. As a matter of fact, yesterday I went to the Rainbow and they had the premiere of this new documentary. It's called Nothing But a Good Time, and which is going to be on Paramount, and it's three episodes. And on the first episode, it begins with Quiet Riot. And then the arc of the whole episode ends with Quiet Riot, Metal Health album, reaching the number one spot, you know, and that's the end of that episode. And, you know, I watched it yesterday, and it was kind of like a reminder, because sometimes you have to remind yourself, because as a band, Quiet Riot is so focused in the now, what we're doing today, and looking into the very near future, you know, how to take the band to the next level where it belongs. And I do not spend too much time looking on the rear view mirror of where the band has been, because we're again focusing on the now. But it's really good to have it documented so people can really understand the value of the band's legacy and contribution to the soundtrack of our lives, you know, basically the 80s soundtrack.
Alex, when you started with the band, of course, obviously you mentioned earlier, Rudy would be the one to give that historic overview, which I like. But at the same time, Rudy, you're firmly planted in the now. And there's always that interesting dynamic of you performing to fans that have grown up with the band. And at the same time, you have new fans as well. So I'd love to get your perspective, both Rudy and Alex. I'll start with Alex because you're a newer, I put it in quotes, a newer addition to the band than Rudy, who goes back further in that sense. But what's your take on that in terms of how you appeal to various groupings of fans with the music?
Well, I mean, because of things like the new documentary and in like about 15 years ago when they had that Guitar Hero video game and VH1 Classic, you didn't have to be there in the 80s to experience it because there's so many more formats and outlet platforms, I should say, for this kind of music. So we're seeing multiple generations of people being exposed to it and they're coming out to the shows. So yeah, like the documentary that just came out, and then before that, the video games, and now with all the you know, like streaming channels with all these classic formats of like 80s hair metal and classic rock, and it's really, there's a lot of different platforms to get it. So I think, you know, when I was a kid in the 90s, you had to have been there because MTV and VH1 weren't playing old videos. Now that they are, it's kind of definitely regenerating a whole new group of people to it, which is nice.
Rudy, what's your take? Alex kind of gave it from that perspective.
Yeah, you know what? I pay so much attention to Alex's answer that I went down that rabbit hole, and I need to hear what the question was again so I can get my own perception of it.
Sure. Well, it's an interesting challenge in the sense of you have different generations of fans you're dealing with. And as I mentioned earlier, you have your feet in both camps. You have generational aspect, but you're also in the now. So how do you look at that when you're appealing to two different types of fans? And, you know, there's always that argument that people like to do, which I've interviewed the members over the years, and there's that argument. Well, it's not the original band, doesn't have all the members, but the point is it the spirit of the band? Is it the music of the band? Are there connections to the original band? And the answer to that, to me, is all true. That, yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Yes. Since I was actually in the, my first time in Quiet Riot was in 1978 during the Randy Rose version of the band. And there was a certain consciousness to the group, a collective consciousness that we never talked about religion, politics, or who was going out with who. It was all about the music, you know, and to me that it's a rock band at its most organic, the purity of it. It's all about the music. When are we going to get, how are we going to get, write that song to get that record deal? And then we're going to tour, we're going to do this. And, you know, there's a lot of sacrifices attached to that because, you know, you're basically a starving musician at that point, you know, but you have a lot of high hopes and devotion to your craft, and, you know, you're practicing all the time and focus on that, on the price, you know. And that's the consciousness that still lives in the band. You know, you're talking about playing. For us, my perception of Quiet Riot, getting up on stage and being in front of the audience that grew up with the music, you know, the older audience, we still have to audition for them. We have to prove ourselves that we're still Quiet Riot and we still care just as much about the band 40 something years ago as and today we care the same way. Then for the fans that have never seen us, they just know of us from, you know, let's say they discovered the band on YouTube, they watch a couple of videos. We are also auditioning for them because every single show you have to prove yourself. Are you still worthy of being on that stage? Because to me, the stage is very sacred. You know, we stand on the same stage as every great other great band has stood on. So I really respect that, whether we're playing at the Whiskey or we're playing in Las Vegas at the M Resort, we respect everything that has happened in that room, in that stage, in front of all the fans. So when it's our turn to perform, we bring with us a legacy that, for me, dates back to 1978 and a consciousness of being the best you can ever be at that moment. And we go for that. I mean, it's an incredible band to still, for me, to be able to go on stage and play the same song that I performed, I recorded, you know, from the Mental Health record and the Condition Critical record. With this band, with Alex, who has been in the band for over 20 years. And in addition to being our guitar player, he's also our manager, tour manager. He manages, you know, tour manages the band. And also we got Jizzy Pearl, who's got his own legacy with his band Love Hate. and he's been in the band. Well, how long has Jizzy been in the band?
About 10 years since he joined in 2014. Yeah.
Yeah, 10 years. And yeah, we should give him like a cake or something.
Yeah.
To celebrate that.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Kelly, who is the only drummer that, you know, well, he was handpicked by Frankie to take over the drumming duties, you know. So, and he's got his own legacy with Type O Negative, you know. So this is an incredible band. Everybody is really focused. And when we hit that stage, it's all about Quiet Riot.
I have to say that's the most healthy and modest response I've ever had when I've asked the question of a singer or performer that's in a group that has a legacy but may not have all the original members. A lot of them, I don't necessarily ask that question that way, but a lot of them don't address, if you want to call the elephant in the room, because there are diehard fans that, again, unless all the original members are there, they don't see it the same way. But you explained it in a way I think that most people understand, which is and I like the way you termed it, you're auditioning every night because you've got the old fans, you've got new fans, and you want to be the best that you can be regardless of the situation.
Oh, yes. And there's a lot of situations. I mean, you know, it even for us, because, you know, all of the three of us, we are fans of music. I got into this because I'm a fan. And I'm going to be a fan even after the day that I cannot tour anymore. I'll still be a fan. I will still listen to music. And hopefully it'll be still be me playing the instrument on my sofa, you know. And to us, you know, that is such a, it's a blessing to be able to be doing this after all these years, you know, and that people show up. And just the fact that they showed up, I mean, thank God there's a lot of people showing up, you know, thank God for that. But, you know, even when there are situations that, you know, like when we first got together at the very beginning, you know, like 3 years ago, you know, it was a bit of a slow build. And, you know, especially coming out of COVID, not a lot of people, you know, were showing up during those, you know, those shows. And it didn't matter. Just the fact that we were all on stage and really enjoying playing together, that just made everything worthwhile.
There's a certain joy I perceive coming from you, that the love of the music, the love of the performance, the appreciation of the fans. So you don't take it for granted. And I guess a lot of times you talk with musicians and performers from a certain genre and they get a little, I don't know what the word is, battle hardened, maybe?
Jaded.
Yeah, exactly. They get jaded. And I don't know, maybe it's just the nature of the beast, the road work, you know, the touring, all the material you have to deal with. You know, there's the performance, which is the best part. I know I've talked to enough performers. The best part of it is being on stage performing, but leading up to that, there's all the traveling and the headaches and all that type of stuff too. But yeah, so many people I've talked to, I think, get a little jaded. You both don't seem to be jaded at all. And you've been at it a long time. Is there a secret to that?
Well, with this particular lineup of the band, everyone really gets along. We're all friends off stage too. So, you know, we look forward to just hanging out, having breakfast just as much as, you know, doing the gig. And that, I think when people watch us play, I've had a lot of people, because I've been in a lot of different lineups of this band, and let me just say, it hasn't always been this particular lineup people see now, and they're like, Alex, you guys actually look like you like each other and you're having fun. Because a lot of these bands are just going through the motions, picking up a paycheck.
Right.
Where we actually still go out there and there's something to prove, like Rudy said. And we enjoy doing it. And people can tell if you're into it or not. Audiences can tell. They're not stupid. They can pick up on those things. So the fact that it's a genuine, you know, love for doing this and we like each other on top of it, I think people can see that. And it translates into people having a better time at the shows, you know?
Sure. Do you ever get any surprises, people coming up to you after the event and it's somebody that saw you 20 years ago and this is the first time seeing you again, or those kinds of interactions that you get? Maybe somebody comes and brings their kid who's never been into heavy metal, and all of a sudden they go, oh, and then they bring you backstage to meet you guys and they get overwhelmed by the experience.
As long as it's not one of our kids.
No, I know, yeah, Alex. You're Alex. Your kids are into classical music. I understand.
We do meet and greets usually after the show, and it's our way to really connect with the fans, especially right after they've seen the show, because you know that's where the energy comes from.
Absolutely,
meet and greets. You know, and it's really exciting for us to be able to thank everybody for coming to the shows and take photos with them and, you know, sign stuff and whatever, you know, so that, you know, it's even when we get off the stage, it never ends. As far as us being Quiet Riot, we get off that stage immediately after the show and we do the meet and greet and, you know, personally, and I know that the guys, you know, do that too. You know, we represent Quiet Riot, the legacy of the band, 24/7. As soon as I leave my house, I'm representing Quiet Riot at the airport, at the counter. I don't get upset if my flight got canceled or delayed. I just, things will be resolved, you know? And right. Then when we're at the gate and fans come over and they want to take a picture, we're representing the legacy of the band. You know, never be rude to anybody or meet somebody on the flight or you know, just as we travel along, we get to the venue, we meet the crew that's waiting for us, you know, and we engage with the backline people and the promoter and the stage manager and all of that. So it never really stops. We are 24/7 representing the legacy of the band.
But that's a philosophy of performing and a professional philosophy of performing that you don't see with a lot of, well, I won't say a lot of, but you don't see it with some bands. They, as you say before, Alex, there, some people are doing it just for the paycheck. So they phone it in or they're really not that interactive with fans or with the people they have to deal with, promoters, radio station people, the entertainment director of a casino, et cetera.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, I feel bad for anyone that hates doing this, because I know guys in other bands that they despise doing this, but they have to do it because it's, you know, it's that what how they earn a living. It's what they do. It's who they are. But I feel really bad for people that can't find the joy in it, because it is the best job in the world. Even when it's horrible, it's still pretty good. You know?
Do you guys put a cap on the amount of traveling you do in a year? Or
Nope.
I want to just switch subjects for a second because Rudy and I were talking before the show, and it's Rudolfo Maximiliano Zarzo. And Rudy, am I correct on my pronunciation, or was that a little off, Rudy?
No, that was good, but that's okay. That's the short version.
Oh, I know that's longer, and I don't want to even attempt the rest of it. Así es la vida. So anyway, Rudy, we were talking about that you still retain a little bit of an accent. And it's interesting, given how far back when you came to the United States, and yet you still retain it. And I think part of it was you were interacting with your mom and stuff, and she clearly, you spoke Spanish with her, she spoke Spanish, and maybe that helped you retain that.
Yeah, but then it's also an attitude. Look, Alex has got that East Coast accent. Our drummer, Johnny Kelly, he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And he lets you know. You know, it's an attitude. Accents are attitude that you're, you know, I came to the United States when I was almost 11 years old. So, you know, for over 10 years of my life, I was in Cuba. So that's my attitude, being Cuban, you know. And I've never tried to get rid of that, because I would be losing myself. Like, you can change my name from Rudolph or Rodolfo to Rudy. That's okay. But I can still control who I am. You can put any name by me, by any name, I'm still myself.
Right. No, it's great. I love that slight accent. You hear it. I don't know, Alex, if you hear it with Rudy or not, because you're with him all the time. So it may not even register on your brain.
I just taste it sounds like Rudy to me. I don't know.
I could tell Alex has an East Coast. Yeah, a little bit of an East Coast sound.
I'm from Connecticut, so halfway between New York and Boston.
Yeah, exactly. Now, of course, you live in Las Vegas now, which is great. So
yeah,
everybody's happy about that here in Las Vegas. So it works out fine. Well, when you guys get together, do you rehearse, or is it even necessary to rehearse before your performance, just because you know the material so well? Is it still part of the procedure?
No, we'll run a couple songs at soundcheck if we haven't played in a few weeks, but we pretty much play every weekend, so we're all pretty much warmed up when we get together.
And then when you perform, do you, in a joking way, I guess, critique each other afterwards? For example, Rudy, you may say something to Alex, or Alex, you may say something to Rudy or one of the other guys in the band. You know, that last note on this song here, you kind of, it was a little bit off or something like that.
The only thing we ever discuss has been tone, sound, because, you know, I have very old ears, meaning that I've been listening to music for a long time. I'm playing it for a long time.
Sure.
So since I was, there was a particular sound to Quiet Riot from the Randy Rose era to the Metal Health era, which is what we're basically, sonically, what we're trying to capture, that, you know, that sound. And it has to do with certain frequencies. So Alex and I, we worked on that. I worked on my own sound. You know, it's not like I brought in the sound and said, okay, here it is. This is like, no, because, you know, before I return in 2021, I have been playing with different bands. And the last one that I was playing with was the Guess Who, which is not a 80s sound. It's a 60s sound. And so I say, okay, now that I'm back with Quiet Riot, I have to like find my sound again that represents Quiet Riot, you know? So it took me a while because at the end of 21, there were not as, you know, coming out of COVID, there were not as many gigs booked. So every 6 weeks we played somewhere and it was like, oh my God, I got it. This is not working. So let me try something else. But it took six weeks again for me to try a new guitar, a new sound, you know, new pedals or whatever. So finally I have it down now, but it was something that we worked on. And the same, so once I found that sound, then I worked with Alex to have the guitar and the bass meet, because we're just, you know, three instruments and the vocal instrument of our singer, you know. So we really need to fill that spectrum, musical spectrum. And that's another thing. It's like when Johnny gets from the backline company certain drum kits, we are aware of that. That, for example, the sound of Quiet Riot is really a Ludwig drum kit as far as the drums go. That's what Frankie used most of the time. And then and recorded with. And then Johnny likes to, he's got a Gretsch endorsement, which is really, really close to the Ludwig sound. But there's other brands that might show up and it's like, oh no, this doesn't sound like the Quiet Riot drum sound. So we are very aware of those specific things. It's not like we just show up and plug it into anything. We're looking for that authenticity of what Quiet Riot is all about. And then once we get that sound, we can then play, you know. By playing, it's like we are not thinking about, oh, this doesn't sound correct. No, it sounds correct. So we just enjoy what we're doing.
Well, that's that dedication. And we talked about it earlier, the professional approach, and that you want to get this right for the not only the original fans, but the new fans too. You want it to sound the way you need it to sound, and you're willing to take the time to do it. And that's part of it. Again, you're going to be October 5th at 8 p.m. in the M Pavilion at the M Resort. And they can go to themresort.com for tickets. When you put together the show for the M Resort, are you adding any new material? Are you keeping it a certain way? Obviously, the mental health aspect is going to be in there, Bang Your Head, and the top songs on the catalog. But do you add new material as well? How does that work for you guys?
I think it's probably going to be the same stuff we've been doing all year, but it's got one new song that came out 2 years ago. Called I Can't Hold On in the Set. And then the rest of it is pretty much the first two records mainly, because that's what people want to hear. You know, people, you only have 75 minutes to fill and you want to make sure you're giving everyone what they want in that. So.
Yeah, there is always that dichotomy between giving the audience what they want and also possibly developing new material. And I know some performers and some groups struggle with that, but other groups say, you know what, we're going to give the audience what they want.
Yeah, and play the hits, give them what they want. You know?
Exactly.
And also, we celebrate not only the legacy of Quiet Riot, but also of like Jizzy. We'll do a love hate song.
Yes.
Which is great. It's great to perform that. The audience loves it because they're also fans. You know, the audience is fan of the genre. This is not like going to a sporting event that you're a fan of one team. You're a fan of many bands, you know, and among them, you know, a Quiet Riot fan, yeah, as a fan of Love Hate, as a fan of Typo Negative, you know, and so on. And so we also do a bit of a Typo Negative song within the set. So, you know, we're just touching all the bases and making sure that everybody's represented with their legacy.
That's generous of you to do that. I think you make a good point, which is that your most fans are fans of the genre, not so much one band, but they're willing to listen to your take on other bands as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rudy mentioned you're the road manager, but who organizes as far as the music aspect? Do you have a musical director, or is it more just everybody knows?
Everyone does it. We're all on the same page. There's only four of us out there, so there's not a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, you know what? From experience, music directors are usually when it's like a solo artist, like a singer, let's say, and the music director rehearses the band, and then the singer shows up at the very end and sings the songs once, and then, you know, that's it. So but this is not quite, that's not the way Quiet Riot works. It's always been a band.
Yeah.
Just four guys.
How do you guys then keep the energy levels up and just keep from getting fatigued? You know, we talked about how band members can get jaded in certain situations. You guys aren't clearly not that. So there's the other part of it, which is just keep the energy up and to, I don't want to suggest that you are living pristine lives, drinking protein drinks and working out, although that may be the case, but there we go. Rudy said yes. And that's why you look so good, Rudy, because you're taking care of yourself. But is there a regime that most of the band members kind of have obligation to take care of themselves? If that's the word, just stay
healthy. Everyone in the band's pretty healthy. It's not like it was years ago.
Right. Yeah, that's because everybody has this image, especially of heavy metal bands, where besides smashing guitars in hotel rooms, that maybe there's also a certain activity that goes on that may not be the best for your health. But
everyone has their past with certain things, but you really can't nowadays the way we travel. I mean, we have to be at the airport usually at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, travel all day, then play, then do it again the next day. You can't be getting messed up out there anymore. Your body won't be able to get up.
Right. Well, except with some exceptions, I'm thinking of individual singers. Sinatra managed to keep drinking and smoking.
Sinatra wasn't flying the way we are.
That's a good point. He had his private jet. You're right.
He had to go up to his room and then go back down on the stage. This is a whole different thing.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guests have been Rudy Zarza and Alex Grassi. They're from Quiet Riot, and they're going to be performing this Saturday, October 5th. At 8 p.m. in the M Pavilion at the M Resort. And for ticket information, go to themresort.com. And for everything about Quiet Riot, you can go to quietriot.band, not .com, .band, and follow them on Facebook and X. And Rudy, Alex, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Yeah, be Las Vegas. Anything you want us to be.